Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, April 29th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
I believe you just had a birthday.
I can't remember. You get on, you don't pay attention.
I told you I was going to send some of that memory herbs from Wendy. I'll have to make sure she sends you some.
Assuming you and Wendy don't forget.
Yeah.
Gotta get some memory herbs for all of us, Melody.
Yeah, maybe. Not me.
Yeah, you say that. You'll see. You're in denial right now, but the day will come and you'll say, holy cow. What the heck was I trying to remember? I was just remembering it just a minute ago, and now it's gone.
Temporary.
It might come back. It might not.
Yeah. Hey, gold. No memory there for gold today. Not to make light of it, but gold, it was down, basically unchanged, 1297. We had a high of 1302, a low of 1288. So we're, we did come back from the low at 1297. Silver's down 7 cents today, 1961. Not good for those who bought at a higher price, but certainly the ones who purchased today at these lower numbers than yesterday and purchasing at this $19 level, those are certainly happy people buying it at these lower prices. So continue to purchase, folks, because there really isn't anything else in this world that is positioned to do as well as gold and silver with the least amount of risk. You have platinum down 11 at 1435, and palladium was up $4, 808, hovering around that 800 level. My prediction, you could see it possibly go to 1,000. That's, I believe, the all-time high for palladium. It's a forward play. They hedged and they ran the price up. And I was surprised to see it. My long-term call in palladium was 800. We're here, so now you take the next step. My next call would be 1,000. Dow Jones today, let's go to the USDX. Today is up 0.10, still 79.80, still below that 80 number. And crude oil today was up a few pennies, 101. Did push it up, those few pennies did push it up to 101 from yesterday's 100. And the paper markets today, we're looking at everybody is happy. Fed policy announcement. I guess they've gotten word from the feds that they'll probably say what Wall Street wants to hear. And so you had the Dow higher 86 points today at 16,535. The NASDAQ up 29 at 4103. The S&P up 8 at 1878. The 10-year yield, 2.70. I wish that 10-year yield, I wish it would either drop, you know, go to 2.25 or get over 3. You know, I'm tired of reporting it at this 2.70 level. Anyway, so that's pretty much it for the markets today. Everybody, again, is waiting for the Fed announcement. They're having a two-day meeting, and so everything is just, everybody just waits to see what the Madam Chairman,
just
the Madam
patient.
Chairperson will say. And that's what the world goes on, the world stocks. That's where the value is. You know, very few have real value. Their real value of the stock market is the Federal Reserve. And, of course,
which is technically broke.
Which is technically broke. You know what? I mean, doesn't anybody get it, Al?
You know what is really bizarre?
It's so simple. It's, you know. Yes, Al?
The way the system operates, the Federal Reserve can spin money out of thin air if they want. And they're broke, technically. They've got a $4 trillion balance sheet?
$4 trillion.
And the balance sheet means they've got $4 trillion in assets and $4 trillion in liabilities. But they don't. Their alleged assets are based on their face value rather than their market value. And the truth of the matter is they've got toxic assets tucked away in the Federal Reserve's balance sheet big time. And these toxic assets, that's just a fancy way of saying worthless stock. Okay? They're claiming to have $4 trillion on their balance sheet. The truth is their assets are, it's like having Confederate money. So, yeah, I'm a billionaire. I've got $4 trillion in Confederate money. Well, it's a toxic asset. It doesn't have that kind of purchasing power. And the point I'm making is, how can someone who can spin money out of thin air go broke? It's part of the marvel of paper currency, Melody. It's part of the wonder and grandeur of fiat currency that even people who can write an indefinite supply of paper dollars can still somehow manage to go broke or be technically broke. And it's part of the insanity that's inherent in paper currency. And we got away with it. It was a great party for a long time. 40 years of it. But party's coming to an end, folks. And we are going to learn that all this time we thought we were paying our bills and all we were doing was just discharging them. We were just, they weren't truly being paid because we didn't have a currency backed by a tangible substance.
I'm going to love it next year in January when they release and they have to start talking about the debt ceiling. You know, when they have to make the true announcement of what really is gone on this year. And certainly it's it will be interesting at that. But.
Well, what do you think? You know, the question, they passed a law where they don't have to announce the debt ceiling. They don't have a debt ceiling right now. They'll just spend whatever it is they want to spend. But what the problem with, what if they gave the debt ceiling and they said they elevated it from $17 trillion to $20 trillion? And what if they say, oh my gosh, they're going to have an extra $3 trillion? Yeah, but how does the federal government get money? It gets it by borrowing it right now, or at least much of what they spend is borrowed. The debt ceiling is necessarily reflects how much money they've borrowed. What if no one will lend money to the federal government? Not having a debt ceiling does not necessarily conceal, it may not be intended to conceal how much we're borrowing. It might be intended to conceal the fact that we can't get anybody to lend us any money.
Well, I don't think then. I think that's why you're seeing all these people. I think this is why you're seeing Obama traveling the world, and I think there's a lot of deals being made behind you.
He's looking for a hideout.
You know, he's getting all these backdoor deals along with everyone else. So, no, I mean, as long as the dollar is still the reserve currency, even though it is not to the same degree as it was how many years ago, you're still having people using the dollars, and that debt will still be purchased. So I can't imagine.
I mean, the truth of the matter is the reason the Federal Reserve is
the
so
Federal Reserve wouldn't
is
be
because
pulling.
It's been purchasing the federal debt.
Right.
The reason it's purchasing the federal debt is they can't find enough suckers in this country or overseas to buy it.
I get that, but they are pulling back, so we're told, and we all know that once they pull back some way, somehow, as soon as they stop one program, they'll just create another one.
Maybe.
But, you know, we certainly have seen, you know, and it's very difficult to, because you hear reports from both sides of the aisle. You hear where, you know, you do have countries that are continuing to pick up their purchasing of debt. And then on the other side, you hear everybody's dumping the debt. So you'd have to assume that it's somewhere in the middle and they're getting something for it. If any country is buying our debt, they're certainly getting something for it. And I guess so. There's that memory lag.
Yep, you get some of those herbs and spices for your own memory. No, they're not just mine.
But the small little country that is outpacing everybody.
Belgium,
yes.
Belgium.
Thank you. Wow, I'm impressed, Al. Your memory served you properly today.
Uh-huh.
But Belgium.
What's your name again? I remember
Where
a lot
I?
Of things, but I'm having a problem. I remember people's names.
Oh, let's go to a basketball game. But yeah, anyway, right. But you have Belgium certainly being credited for, you know, all the debt that they're purchasing. And of course, I believe, and I think you do too, that, you know, it's just a front for the U.S.
Well, Belgium is... The European Central Bank is probably acting through Belgium to purchase U.S. debt, and we've done something similar in the last several years to shore up the European Central Bank and the European Union, and now they're shoring us up, and it's a little bit like two drunks walking down the street leaning against each other so they don't fall down. We'll see how far they can walk.
Today, a report came out on the homeownership rate in the U.S. has declined to the lowest in almost 19 years as rising property prices and mortgage rates held back a lot of the demand. The share of Americans who own their homes was 64.8% for the first quarter, and that was down from 65.2% in the previous 3 months. And this is the report that came out from the Census Bureau today. And they said the rate is the lowest since the second quarter of 1995, when it was 64.7%. They do talk about recovering home prices, but we also know that a lot of these homes are being purchased by huge hedge funds, turning them into rentals. And if you look at the rental pricing, rental prices, they're skyrocketing. And, you know,
they're skyrocketing as long as they continue to keep foreclosed homes off the market.
Right. That's right.
I mean, the reality is we overbuilt. And why did we overbuild those homes, Melody? We have too many homes on the market. We have more than we need. All right? We have a financial problem also, and people don't have enough. Too many people are unemployed, and therefore they can't buy homes. And I understand, and that's where most people, that's the basis for saying we're not buying enough homes right now. We're just broke. All right? We have a lot of people unemployed. But why? There's an additional cause for this also. And the reason is that the government tried to stimulate people into buying homes, and they use things like liar loans, and they use subprime mortgages, meaning they gave mortgages to people who couldn't really afford them, and they did it anyway. And then the result of this buying pressure in the first decade of this century up until 2006, 2007. The result of this buying pressure was more homes were being built. Now, what was happening in places where some people were buying, they were buying three, four homes. They're buying them as investments, and they were watching the prices of their homes going up and up and up, even though they didn't necessarily have someone to buy them from them. And we eventually hit a point where people realized, this is stupid. This is like the tulip mania. Why did we build so many homes? Do you have any idea, Melody? Huh? Huh? Do you?
Well, what is your answer? And I'll tell you if it matches mine.
Uh-huh. With the reason is because the mortgage note is more valuable than the home. Under fractional reserve banking, if I'm a banker and I can persuade you to borrow $250,000 to build a new home, under fractional reserve banking, I can take your note when you sign that note and promise to pay the $250,000 plus interest over the course of the next 20, 30 years. And you say, yay, I'm going to have a house and it's going to be great. Yeah, well, that's very nice. But here's the point. The note is worth more than the house, and not a little bit more, a lot more. If I am able to use that note under fractional reserve banking as collateral and lend based on that note, I can lend up to 10 times the face value of the note, meaning I can lend a 2.5. You borrow $250,000. You sign a piece of paper. By virtue of your signature, that piece of paper can become collateral in a bank, and I can use the collateral, your signature, to justify lending $2.5 million in consumer loans to the public. If I lend that $2.5 million to the public, it certainly stimulates the economy, and people say, well, that's good, that's great. But more than that, if I can collect 10% interest on that $2.5 million, I can make $250,000 in the first year off your note. And I bought the note for $250,000. That's a 100% return on investment, assuming that I can collect 10% interest. A 100%. I paid $250,000 for your note. I can use it in theory to lend out $2.5 million. I can make $250,000 interest. I'm actually collecting $250,000 interest per year on a note that I only paid for, that I only paid $250,000 for. The point is, the house is nothing. It's chump change. They don't care. It's like making a shed for monkeys. It doesn't matter. It's the piece of paper in a debt-based monetary system, in a fractional reserve monetary system. It's the piece of paper with the signature, the promise to pay. That's where the real money was. Over the course of the life of that mortgage, say it was 20 years, that mortgage, your little piece of paper can, in theory, pay for 20 homes. And the bank is going to reap, in theory, they can grab that much profit. I'm not going to say it happens in all instances, but in theory, that's what's happening. That's why they wanted you to go out there and somebody please borrow some money. And it's the reason why, ultimately, they got to a point where we didn't have enough people who had real jobs who'd borrow any money, but they said, okay, let's give loans to the poor people. Subprime loans, because they had to continue supporting the economy with these damn debt instruments. That's why we probably have gone on to lend money to kids going to college. We have to have people who are taking out loans. It's why we do deficit financing. It's not just greed. In a debt-based monetary system, we are leaving debt to our children, but they are giving us notes effectively that still can be used to stimulate the economy, except people are becoming wary. They're beginning to sense the fraud, and now they're not borrowing, and now we're in big trouble. We'll be back. Financial Survival. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with Salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
I just want to remind the listeners, we were running a special on AU $5 Liberties for $3.95 for a very long time. The price on those are much higher today. Even at our special price, it would be $420. A regular price is well over $440. So they are performing very well. There's not a lot of those coins. And I just want to remind the listeners that when I come up with these specials and I see a coin that is selling at something that's way below the value, and I know how they perform. I know the amount of them that are out there. They're very difficult to come by. And because there's a limited supply of them, that's what's pushing these prices higher on these AU $5 Liberties. So, you know, they were great buys. You can get them today at $420. They're harder to come by now, but they are available. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. And, of course, we do have Silver Eagles with each order that you purchase for this month, and we'll probably carry that through May. It's hard to believe May is here already.
It's not here yet.
It's close. Wow.
We've got another day. Got another day to go.
Another one.
Mm-hmm.
But so they need to give us a call at 800-375-4188. And remember, folks, great buys on Silver Eagles, 275 over spot. Great buys on Gold Eagles, Canadian Maple Leafs, any bullion coin that you're looking for. And, of course, our $20 gold pieces. The premium is so very low over the bullion prices, now's the time to be buying the $20 gold pieces. I don't even see a reason to buy gold bullion coins when you can buy Mint State 61 $20 gold pieces at a little under $100 over their price. So a lot of options for you at these low prices. Don't become discouraged with these low prices. Be thankful that they are pushing these prices and keeping them. And yes, I know, I want to see higher prices too, but that day will come. And we do have to be patient. It will come. And take advantage of these prices today. There's a lot of goofy stuff going on now that you hear on the internet on various products, novelties, you know, saying, oh, get this little chip and gram and this and that is great for bartering and all this sort of stuff. They're just novelty, folks. Do you want a novelty? Or are you serious about protecting your purchasing power? And so give us a call if there's any way we can help, quote prices for you, and visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. We do have a guest tomorrow, Phil Hudock from West Virginia. He is running to replace Rockefeller out of the Senate position in West Virginia. So he will be here tomorrow to talk about his campaign and also to talk about government tyranny. So it should prove to be a good program tomorrow. And speaking of campaigns and politicians, Boehner, if that's what you want to call him, House Speaker, Ali told Republicans today he was just teasing them when he lampooned their reluctance to act on immigration legislation, insisting that he blames Obama for inaction on the issue, not the GOP. And he says,
there's a lot of people in Congress that really miss their calling as stand-up comedians, and John Boehner's just one of them. They've got this comedic gift, but sometimes it's a little dry. Humor's a little dry, and I appreciate that. I understand that affliction. Because sometimes you crack jokes and people don't know, what the heck is that guy? Is he joking or not? You know. Well, Boehner got caught. He was telling funnies, but he didn't do it in a funny way.
Well, sometimes people think things that what they say are funny when they really are not.
Well, they're at least funny to the speaker. I appreciate that, too. And I understand sometimes I tell things that I think are funny. I know there's not universal agreement in that, but what can I say? One of these days I'll have to run for Congress. We're looking for a few good comedians. That's what that should be the sign outside the,
out of
the Congress.
Now.
Say what, Melody?
There's a lot of them there now.
Yeah, I know. So what does that mean? Are we going to have any immigration reform before the election or not?
No,
I don't think so either. Why should we reform a perfectly good system? Mexicans just want to come in, they come in.
Oh, I think it'll happen afterwards, but prior to the election, I don't think so.
Yeah, I understand.
Of course, if the Democrats are running behind and they need their vote, then you might see something get through, but
I don't think so. I don't think they can push that through coming into the election, as much as they might like to.
It bring too much disturbance to their election, so no.
There's something happening where I'm not sure. You're dropping out a little bit. Now, I'm not sure if Frank notices that or if it's just on my end, but your sound is dropping out once in a while. So, what else we got, Melody?
Well, here we have the Pentagon is to destroy $1 billion in ammunition.
Mm-hmm. USA Today. This is an interesting little story. It's not quite complete. The Pentagon plans to destroy more than $1 billion worth of ammunition, although some of those bullets and missiles could still be used by troops. It's impossible to know what portion of the arsenal slated for destruction, valued at $1.2 billion by the Pentagon, remains viable because the Defense Department's inventory systems can't share data effectively. Well, this is just interesting from this perspective. On the one hand, as most of you know, the federal government has purchased or ordered over 2 billion rounds of ammunition for domestic government agencies like the FBI, IRS, United States Post Office, Department of Homeland Security, and so on. They ordered an extra 2 billion rounds of ammunition over the course of the last 12, maybe 18 months. Right? And big to-do about this because people are wondering, oh my gosh, is the government preparing to launch some sort of a war against the American people? So on the one hand, you know, we've rounded up all this money for domestic agencies, and people think, some people think, conspiracy theory, oh my gosh, the government's getting ready to shoot us all. And on the other hand, here's the federal government ordering the destruction of $1.2 billion in military ammunition. So it's a little bit, on the one hand, if you subscribe to the conspiracy theory that they are planning to shoot us all, or at least a lot of us, it's kind of encouraging to see them destroy some of the military's ammunition. So that indicates that they don't plan to put tanks on the street, and they don't plan to come out and shoot us all. On the other hand, for those of you who think the government is rational, it's a little bit disturbing to report that, guess what? They're going to eliminate, destroy $1.2 billion worth of ammunition because their records keeping doesn't allow them to determine for sure if the ammunition is still viable or not. Apparently, it's got a storage useful life expectancy. It's kind of like tomatoes or pineapples or something you can buy at the grocery store and best used by May 1st. You know, they don't have that on the ammunition, or if they do, they can't find it. It's just one of these stories that strikes me as bizarre, confusing, encouraging, disturbing, which is pretty much what we get out of government on a regular basis. Confusion. When was the last time any of you got a straight answer out of the government on anything? You know, that's actually a pretty good question. When do you get a straight answer from government out of zoning? Ask them. Go ahead. Can I build a garage? Can you instantly get a straight answer out of anyone? Or do you have to go through so much rules and regulations that it becomes almost impossible to say, well, I don't know if I can build a garage or I can't build a garage. I could put a building up and back if I call it a sauna, but I can't put it up if I call it a garage. I could store my car in the sauna and I'd be fine, but if I call it a garage, I might get into trouble because there's some obscure law regulation on the local books. Government's just become something unmanageable. People in government don't know what to do. People outside of government don't know what to do. And you sit on the outside, as I do, and you can complain about government. But the people who work in government, in their own way, they're probably more concerned about government irrationality and government unpredictability than you and I are. Because they're the ones that are constantly under scrutiny that they might be a whistleblower. They might be like Edward Snowden. And they might walk out of the government office with a thumb drive with a bunch of information on it, release it to the great unwashed. They are under enormous scrutiny. Government is merely a pain in the butt for most of us. But for those of us who work in government, they are probably living under conditions that are almost like living in a concentration camp. There's no political... I'll bet they don't crack many jokes on the job in the government right now. But you know, I'll bet they are all pretty grim or increasingly grim in government. Don't know that's true, but I suspect it might be. And what can you say? Government, it's more of a pain in the butt for people who work for the government than it is for people who are subject to the government. Hard to believe, but I think that's probably true. What's next, Melody?
Well, we had a question in regarding a House Bill 2847 stating that the dollar and other currencies are to be reset worldwide on July 1st, 2014. Does this mean that the petrodollar disappears and dollar itself will be devalued? And there's certainly a lot of commentary and opinions floating around that this is what's going to happen July 1st. And...
Well, I don't know what's going to happen on July 1st, and I haven't read House Bill 2847. But the question is, there's a House bill stating that the dollar and other currencies are to be reset worldwide on July 1st, 2014. You can, without reading the bill, it's possible to understand if that's a true story or a hoax, or at least a misunderstanding. If there is going to be a currency reset, it's going to happen suddenly and without warning. If they announce the reset several months in advance, said, now everybody on July 1st, we're going to change the value of the dollar from 100 pennies on the dollar to 60 pennies on the dollar. We're going to have a 40% reduction on July 1st. If they announced that, everyone would get out of dollars. The reset would have no significant effect. The only way the reset is going to work is if people don't see it coming. Therefore, they will not announce in advance that there's going to be a reset in the value of currency of the dollar and or global currencies or currencies on a global basis. They're not going to announce it in advance. You'll wake up one day and you'll find out that your dollar is only worth 50% as much as it was when you went to sleep. But they're not going to warn you a day in advance, a week in advance, and certainly not several months in advance that you're going to lose the value of the currency on July 1st. What I'm trying to get to is you don't need to be a rocket scientist to understand everything in this world. Sometimes common sense is enough. The story that House Bill 2847 is going to cause a reset of currencies on July 1st, it's just nonsense. It has to be a misunderstanding. It might be done by accident. It might be done by intent, but it's not true. So
it's going to happen sooner or later.
Yeah, it may happen,
it's
but it won't happen on
July
1st,
2014.
It might be July 2nd. It might be July 3rd of 2015. I don't know when it's going to happen.
But
the government will not put it in writing and say, oh, these are our plans. But don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody.
What is interesting is this was actually passed. The original version of this bill came out June 12, 2009. And it was signed into the law on March 18th, 2010. And what it is, the initial bill was Hiring Incentives to Restore Employment Act. And so that's what the whole thing is focused on. But then they do add in, and then of course they always add little things in there to what you don't know. And, you know, again, you need to have, you know, how many degrees in law in order to figure it out. But there is a new Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act, FATCA, enacts Chapter 4 of and makes other modifications to the Internal Revenue Code. And what it does, it requires foreign banks to find any American account holders and disclose their balances, receipts, and withdrawals to the IRS. And is to be subject to a 30% withholding tax on income from the U.S. financial assets. So good luck in hiding your money offshore for everybody who calls me and talks about offshore storage of your funds and so forth. Owners of these foreign-held assets, you will have to report them on U.S. tax returns if they are worth more than $50,000. Those who do not would be subject to a 30% penalty on the balance of the account in question. And this FATCA also closes a tax loophole that investors had used to avoid paying any taxes on dividends by converting them into dividend equivalents. So, you know, and as a result of this, European banks, you know, the Deutsche Bank, the HSBC, Credit Suisse, and so forth, they have been closing brokerage accounts for all U.S. customers since early 2011. Based on this regulation. And it is more complex than this, and it does have consequences. I mean, you certainly can see, you know, if you have other than just U.S. people, the disclosures that these banks have to provide. And so it can get a little bit, you know, it's another power play. And so, yeah, you could start seeing people funneling their and central banks maybe moving a little bit faster out of the U.S. dollar and into other things. So,
but how are they going to do that without declaring it? It seems to me that the pressure under this FATCA.
I'm talking about future. You know, you can have, you know, future, trades from
investments
and so forth change the future. Maybe not what's being held right now. And we've had these foreign banks. They began dumping these accounts back in 2011. But future investments and so forth could change to where it could have an impact on the value of the dollar to where.
Well, I think, and where the way I'm looking at this is that the music is playing, so I guess I have to stop talking and look at it later. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Well, thanks, Melody. Shall we get back into this FATCA thing, and shall we beat it to death, or shall we proceed, move on?
You're the boss.
I'm not the boss. I'm just the hired help here. It's just
I think it's, you know.
I'm in charge. I'm the boss in charge of the shovel. I get I'm the head shoveler.
Well, I mean, there's so much floating around misinformation, and and usually there's, you know, follow the money, folks. And I saw where this over an hour long video, if that's what you want to call it, it's somebody who reads his own article and puts me to sleep. But there isn't anything new in there that he says. There are ways to protect your money. There are ways to be private. And it's gold and silver. And it's, but just follow the money, folks, and you can see. And these guys are never right, Al. That's what amazes me.
No, they're effective.
They're effective at selling things sometimes. Right.
You get into these little, they start out with a big headline, and that's where this story about there's going to be a reset on July 1st. Somebody came out and promoted the idea that this is going to happen with an extensive video. It's mostly just text, and many of you may have seen it. I'm not going to mention the man's name. I'm tempted to, but I don't think I will. He puts this thing out, and it starts out with a headline that the whole thing is going up for grabs on July 1st. And then he starts the video, and he's going to show you in just a few minutes why the whole thing is going up for grabs on July 1st. And you listen to it, and you listen to it, and you listen. I've listened. I don't know how long that went. I just dumped it after a while. I don't care if it's going up on July
1st. He didn't say anything new.
No, and all it is a sales pitch where by the time you get done with it, they don't give you real information. They give you an opportunity to sign up for something. Give us your names. Give us your addresses, your phone numbers, whatever. I don't know what contact information he's looking for. And we will send you our free report. Or they will charge you. It's not free. And give us your contact information and we'll sell you this report. Well, it's just a sales pitch. That's all it is. And it's unfortunate. But it starts out with this lie that something extraordinary is going to happen on July 1st because of FATCA. Well, there are going to be new pressures. I get that. But it doesn't mean that the currencies of the United States and the world are going to reset on July 1st. It can't be that way. All right? The government is not going to show its hand 2 months in advance. They did, everybody will go out of dollars. Everybody will buy gold or silver or something. They tell us in advance, well, the dollar's going to lose 50% of its value. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to dump dollars. The only way they can effectively rob the people by resetting the value of the currency is by not announcing it to the great unwashed in advance. And here is this guy putting out this video that claims all sorts of extraordinary things will happen on July 1st. Well, it can't be. It is irrational. All right? I'm not saying that the fundamental ideas he's advocating are necessarily false, but I am saying that picking a date like July 1st, he can't, the government isn't going to reveal that, and I don't believe he can know that. Whatever date they've got for a reset, if there's going to be a reset, you'll read about it in the newspaper the day after it happens. But you won't hear about it in advance. So it's a sales device. That's the problem with this. And you have to use a certain amount of common sense. And so, many of these sales devices, you have to sit back and say, look, this is just so much hype. There may be some good information, but there may also be some hype. And you've got to be smart enough to pick up on it and separate between the two. Right, you got to be able to separate the hype from the wheat from the chaff. And there's plenty of chaff on the internet. There's also wheat, which, do you have a discerning eye? Can you see which is which? If you can, you can prosper in this world. If you can't, you're going to have a problem.
And you know what, Al, not to go on this much longer, we want to talk a little bit about Ukraine and, because things are, they fall further into chaos and, you have more separatists that are seizing control in other cities and so forth. And it's the day they revalue the world currencies will not be a nice day. We shouldn't wish that it happens on July 1st just so our gold and silver goes higher. Because when that happens, things will be much more severe than I believe anyone really understands. And it won't be a fun time. And those who have gold and silver will be more protected than those that don't. But it will not be a good time. So take advantage. And it's coming. That day of reckoning will be here soon enough. Just won't be July 1st.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
It's just the government is not going to announce that in advance.
Not
like
in advance.
They're going to announce and they're going to tell Al Capone, we're coming to arrest you on July first.
Not in a bill that was passed in 2009.
Nah. Doesn't make sense. You know, people make mistakes when they talk about these things. I understand that. I'm sure I make mistakes. Melody makes mistakes. We give you the information we have as sincerely as we can, but we're capable of making mistakes. But some of this stuff isn't a mistake. It is an intentional distortion, disinformation, hyperbole intended to sell something you probably don't need or want rather than provide you with legitimate information. And that's where we go when we wind up with one of our listeners calling in to ask, what's going to happen when the reset takes place on July 1st? Well, the reset's not going to take place on July 1st. It may take place on June 15th. I don't know. It might be June 30th. I don't know when it's going to happen. But the government is not going to announce a reset in advance.
Sensationalism sells.
Guarded secrets. If there are any secrets left in the internet world, this will be one of them. There won't be prior knowledge, not available to most people, of the reset, except in general terms. They might say, well, this is bound to happen sooner or later. Well, maybe so, but when is that going to happen? That's the mystery du jour, Melody. When?
Well, we're heading into Ukraine.
I'm not. You're staying put. It might be a step up for those who live in Pennsylvania, but Texas, I think, is better than Ukraine, so I'm going to stay here in Texas.
Well, you know, they're putting on new restrictions, new sanctions, that are supposed to hit the inner circle and the economy. And it's like, really? I mean, really, Al? The sanctions that they're putting on there certainly won't have the impact. I mean,
it's strange, though. That's exactly what I thought up until... I've been thinking about this a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Insofar... Yeah, better watch your step now. Al's been thinking about these things. So get the women and children, get them out of the room right now. We're going to talk about... As nutty as it sounds, I'm beginning to wonder if Obama isn't, or at least his administration, isn't a lot more shrewd than I'd previously supposed. And here's why. I'm looking, here's a news report from, what is this? CNN. The European Union has imposed sanctions related to the crisis in Ukraine on another 15 people, bringing the total number targeted to 48. That's today's story at CNN. Ooh, they've targeted 48 people. What have they targeted them for? They are essentially oligarchs, right, that are associated, deeply connected with the government. They may even hold governmental offices, but they have a lot of money, and what they're doing is they're going after their foreign bank accounts. They don't keep their money in Russia. Not all of it. They've got bank accounts in places like Cyprus, for example, and other parts of the world. And our government is now trying to get at those bank accounts to mess with these, 48 people. Now, the point here is they're not going after the nation of Russia. This is the beginning of a kind of war that's only targeting 48 individuals who are chief executive officers and or owners of major corporations in Russia. They aren't targeting Putin. Putin's not an enemy. He's not. I'm sure they'd like to, but they're not messing with the president of Russia. They are attempting to impose sanctions on corporate owners or executives of major multinational corporations operating out of Russia. This is at first glance, it seems foolish. It's, oh my gosh, they've only targeted, now they're bringing up the number of people targeted to 48. And if they can find their bank accounts in foreign countries, if they have bank accounts in the United States, for example, they might. If they have bank accounts in England or Europe or Africa or South America, if they can find them, they're going to try to do something to restrict their access to their secret funds. Well, on the one hand, it sounds silly, it sounds trivial, it doesn't sound significant. On the other hand, maybe it is significant. We've been watching spy dramas like Goldfinger, for example. We remember the James Bond movie Goldfinger, where Auric Goldfinger is trying to do something to take over the world's gold supply and make himself rich. And he's coming close to trying to dominate the world with his corporation. Now, that wasn't exactly the theme. He just wanted to control all the gold. But we've watched these scenes about, or movies about, private individuals and major corporations that are trying to exert extraordinary power in the world. They're trying to take over. Well, insofar as Obama is attacking major corporate executives and or major corporate multinational corporation owners, he's attacking them. It may be evidence that increasingly people are understanding that we don't have nations that go to war anymore. The wars are being waged perhaps by coalitions, conglomerates of private multinational corporations that exist primarily in this country versus multinational corporations that exist primarily in other countries. And the war is not between the nations, it's between the corporations. Now, I'm not telling you that's exactly God's truth on this, but that is one of the implications in Obama simply sanctioning. Now they've raised it up to 48 individuals who are relatively close to Putin who are rich. Does that make any sense to you, Melody?
Well, I see where you're going, but then on the other hand, is it that, or is it really Obama's inability to understand foreign affairs? This is what he would do here. We see how they attack look at the guy, look how they've done to Strawn, where, he wanted a world currency backed by gold, and the next thing you know, he's raping a maid in a New York hotel and so forth. So they do target, he has a tendency to target individuals, but is it more or less his lack of understanding of what is really happening in Russia and Ukraine?
Well, I would bet on a lack of his understanding. I mean, you're going to have a hard time persuading me that Obama is bright enough to handle his job. I don't think he has the knowledge. He may have the intelligence. I don't think he even has the intelligence.
Or anyone over there. Because there was
but it may be people in the administration. I mean, he's doing a certain amount of sock puppet routine. Somebody tells him what to say, and he kind of says it. Somebody's filling in the blanks on the teleprompters. All right, and it's not Obama. I don't believe he's writing his own stuff. So who knows what's really going on here? I'm just saying there's a possibility that Obama is revealing a fundamental change in the world. We may not go to war with Russia. We might go to war with Gazprom, which is the major Russian oil-producing corporation. Are we coming into a world where the wars are fought by corporations rather than nations? I don't know. We'll maybe find out tomorrow. Melody and I are done for today. We want to thank all of you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.